Take it, Derek. Derek. I don't hear Derek. I don't hear Derek J. Freeman. Do you guys hear Derek J. Freeman?
Derek, where are you?
I don't hear you.
I don't hear him.
I'm here.
Give him the trigger.
I barely
warning.
Hear him. Sounds like he fell down the. Yeah, turn him up. Thanks.
Meow. Yo, guys. On, trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it? MK Lords, Michael Fien, Jim Babb.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right.
Woo. Yeah, I had to.
Got Derek back. J back.
Derek J, hallelujah. Welcome back. It's good to have you here. All your crappy audio aside, I'm going to make fun of you because you're not on Fiendphone. You're on Skype because Fiendphone apparently is not available and you are a gay South America. And you're using Skype because you don't have a PC because you're on a Mac. And you're using a Yeti mic, which I don't like as a mic, but I like you. But I have to point out the audio because this is a teaching hospital. And I actually have to turn the feed way up so I can hear you. But I checked the LRN feed. We're all the same volume and you can hear what he's saying. So, Derek, how are you?
I am superb, guys. Thanks so much for bearing with the audio and with Skype tonight. You know, I know it's not as good as Fiendphone, but right. I'm just glad to be here to communicate what's going on in You Are a Gay and to fiend with you guys tonight.
Uruguay. Yay. Isn't that how you say it? How do you say it, really?
It is Uruguay.
Uruguay?
It's like you're
like
being punched
you are
in the gut.
You gay.
Uruguay. Yeah.
Uruguay. Yeah, it's fun.
How did
to
you
say.
Guys Uruguay. End up there? How did you end up there?
I can't find it on a map even. Long and windy road, but
literally, really, probably.
We wound up here because of studying the different places in the world where there are like benefits to starting a corporation, and this is one of the best places because there's here in Montevideo where I'm fiending tonight. It's there's a place called the Free Trade Zone, and they even have their own World Trade Center building. Pretty remarkable, and it's like off limits to local Uruguayans, is my understanding. That like they live under communism and horrible oppressive rule where everything is banned, including pornography. And but the outsiders, the foreigners, can set up banks and offshore corporations and have like total freedom, trade almost anything they want in this free trade zone, and the local government keeps their hands off and their taxes off, most importantly. So like it's not like we've set up any corporation or anything, but we're studying that because it's totally legal and safe as far as I've understood, and we're going to do it smart. But, you know, hey, we're interested in being business guys and living internationally, like those cool people we hear about in comic books and the movies and awesome. Some blogs. Yeah, so, you know, that's the goal.
Jet-setting Playboys.
yeah, we're distributing Playboys amongst the population and Playgirl. No,
probably be good business there, huh? You could probably sell Playboys for lots of money, huh?
There's a lot of things that would be a good business here, in my view. You know, it is heavily communist in a lot of ways that you don't notice. Like, it looks like a really normal city, has all the amenities that you would expect in a sort of European city. But then there are weird things like prohibitions on imports of milk. And so all milk comes in a bag, and that's pretty weird.
What is that, Pennsylvania? What? Like?
Yeah, it's
that is bad. Wow.
Yeah, but what you don't notice it. Like the other day we went to the store, we went to make some cookies, and we wanted to have peanut butter cookies. They don't have peanut butter. They just don't even have it. And it's not like it's a hard thing to make, but a lot of import, like they don't allow imports of some vegetables and meats and dairy, and pornography is another thing. But like it's like the internet doesn't work or something. I mean, how could people not import pornography? If they have an internet connection, it's going to happen. So.
Yeah.
So what kind of business were you thinking about getting into? Or are you still just porn kind of researching milk. What you porn and milk?
Pastries.
The basics.
Yep. No,
nice. Peanut butter.
We're thinking software as a service is what we're aiming for. Like, it's a, you know, growing industry. There's tons of things in the world that could be automated that are not being automated yet. And I just feel like that helps the world become more efficient and allows people to free up their time to do less menial work.
I have a business plan for you. I got one. What's that? Business plan. Fiend phone as a service.
Hey.
Because fiend phone sounds great. A lot of people would want to use it, but it's a little technical for most people. Like, most people can't forward a port. Most people have problems with, you know, realizing that you can't use it without headphones, things like that. I think what you need to do, though, is you need to port it to Linux. Because if you're doing any software as a service, you don't want to have to be paying for the software you're running it on. So you guys port it to Linux and then offer it as a service for, like, $5.95 a month. I think you could make a lot of money.
Hey, that's a cool idea. And it's covered by the
Bipcot, no government license, so you wouldn't have to give me any money. Just, you know, I'd be happy to just have a Linux version of Fiendphone.
What's the deal with weed in Uruguay? Isn't it legal there, but it's like run by the government, or how does that work?
Yeah, that one's hilarious. Okay, so it is.
You were kidding, legal. James.
No, for real. It's true. And I see people smoking pot out in the street all the time. You know, I live half a block from the beach, very fortunate to be right here on the ocean in Montevideo. And people are smoking pot all the time under the trees and hanging out, drinking tea, getting high. But the weed is so awful smelling. I mean, like, weed is generally awful smelling, but theirs is especially bad. Like, not good bad, where it's like, oh, it smells so stinky, you know it's really good. Weed, you know, it's really bad. And here's why. The government, first of all, yeah, they made it legal, but then they granted two monopolies. Or I don't know if you call it a monopoly.
When
they give it to two companies. Yeah, duopoly. To allow two different companies or pharmacies, whatever you would call them, to sell it. And they capped the price. So something like, you know, the conversion rate ends up being like $1 a gram. And you would think that's awesome.
Like, so it's all dirt weed.
Exactly. Socialists are like, oh, great. No, we cap the prices and make everything available for everyone. Well, yeah, but then you made it really low quality. So
and just think about all the stoners, back in the U.S. that think that's just awesome. You know,
I'm sure they do. And they have those funny. They have like pot leaf shirts and stuff, like I pot leaf Punta del Este, and all these people like act like they're such stoners, but then it takes them like 20 joints to get high.
I'm so thinking sad. About the 1970s when pot was $1 a gram when it was, or less. It was $20 an ounce when I was smoking it when I was 11 in 74, 75. And it was, I mean, it was, I've actually heard tests of it. It was like between. The average weed back then, Mexican weed back then, was between 0.5% and 1% by weight THC. I think the average, like, medical marijuana in Colorado now is like 18-19%. So it's like almost 20 times to 40 times as strong as what I smoked as a kid. And there's actually like races among like macho pot growers to cross pollinate it to where like. There's some now that's like 37% THC or something. I mean,
maybe stoners from the 70s should seek reparations from current stoners. Owe me joints because of what we had to, you know, what we had to go through.
Well, you know what happened was pot was $20 an ounce when I was a kid, and it was all Mexican. And then occasionally there'd be pot called Colombian, which was always $40 an ounce. That was a little better, that may have been from Mexico, but just was a little better. And then the U.S. sprayed, what was that chemical, paraquat, that they sprayed in Mexico and killed all the pot fields. And, you know, the starving bastards. Farmers were like, well, we got to sell it or we'll die. We'll starve to death. So they bagged it up early and dried it out and sold it anyway. And it made a lot of people sick in America. You know,
for
so
your
the government
protection.
Was poisoning people. They were
for
denaturing
the
nature. Yeah. So the, all of a
children.
Sudden, all the pot in America that was sold was called Colombian, whether it was Mexican dirt weed with paraquat in it or not. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. Hey, Derek, I just checked Wikipedia on this, and it says you can grow up to 6 plants at home. Does that sound correct?
I have no idea about that, actually. That's news to me. I wouldn't be able to grow here. I'm in, like,
you're in
an apartment. And I'm not going to be here for that much longer. I'm just here for the winter. Like, since I'm in South America, you know, Uruguay is pretty far south, and it's super warm here. It's been like 100 degrees the past week. And I know that the U.S. just had a massive blizzard all across it. And you guys are covered in sheets of ice, but, you know, it's hot and sunny here. So I'm going to be gone as soon as it starts to get cold, and I'll go join you guys when it starts to warm up there.
Right on.
Wow, cool.
Right, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm exploring this international living. I feel like there's a lot of freedom in it. Like, more people could try this out, and they're not doing it. I don't know for what reason.
Perpetual tourist. Like a perpetual tourist mode?
It's a thing. Kind there's of. Like there's blogs about it and Twitter feeds about it. And the thing is, though, like almost everyone doing it, except people you could count on one hand, are really status liberals. Like I've read some of their blogs, and there's always this like undercurrent of, you know, well, I may come back to America if Bernie wins, but if he doesn't, I'm never. You know what? I have an aside here.
Serious?
For the past 20 years, everybody, like, how many times in your life have you heard somebody say, if blank wins the election, I'm leaving America for good? I heard that.
I say that every election. I say that every.
I heard that under Clinton. I heard that under Obama. But the problem is that. They never leave.
In fact, every day I say that.
They never leave. And if you want Bernie to be president and he doesn't become president, why don't you move to Venezuela? That's what I say.
Oh, man, poor Venezuela. They're having it rough right now. And there's a girl I met here in Montevideo who's trying to get to the U.S., but she can't because of visa stuff. Now, that's another thing that, like, U.S. submittances have a real benefit. And if you've got a passport, you're able to go almost anywhere without any problems or asking for a visa. But people all over the world, like, they just can't do that. This girl, she's from Venezuela. She's been working. She has the money to go to the U.S., but she can't get the permission slip from the government. So,
which government? Yeah,
they should move to Venezuela if they want Bernie socialism.
Which government's the problem?
Yeah.
Which government's the problem?
See, I think the U.S.
This is why Skype sucks, because it's like...
Sorry, man.
No, I'm not condemning you. I'm bragging to the world about Fiendphone. Like, when we're all on Fiendphone, it's like we're in each other's ear with no delay. And when you're going through Skype, through Fiend, you know, it's like hello. Over.
We'll be
over,
back.
Over. Yeah, we'll be back. Worms!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Where are my dragons?
Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Where are my
dragons?
All right,
we got Derek back. Derek, are you out there?
Are we back? Oh, yeah. Hey, Derek. What's up?
Meow, guys. Well, I want to talk about my cult adventures and how I got out of it. I finally escaped.
Yeah.
Where are my dragons?
Now. What is that? I don't know what the dragons thing is, but
it's from Game of Thrones, which is the show my wife really likes, and I really don't. Well, I don't like fantasy stuff like that, and she watches every episode in the other room, loud, and I shut my door and do stuff. And like to me, it just sounds like murder and rape and murder and rape. That's pretty much the whole show. Like it's just. Medieval people murdering and raping each other. It's really loud. And I've never even been able to discern a single sentence of the dialogue from the other room because it just sounds like murder and rape to me. But at one point, really clearly, I heard a woman's voice on the show say, "Where are my dragons?" And it sounded so ridiculously funny to me of like, yeah, that's what that show's about. Murder, rape, and where are my dragons? But it's actually a meme. If you Google where are my dragons, there's tons of like lost dragon flyers with this lady's face on them and things like that. So it's an inside joke in this house that's kind of a wide inside joke in the world.
All right, now
so
you know.
Derek
escaped from a cult.
You were in a cult. Yeah. Let's give some background here. You were in a cult, not because you wanted to be in a cult, but for housing. You were in a housing cult in San Francisco, and it didn't even have free housing. It was like expensive housing, but housing is at such a premium and such a rare commodity in San Francisco that you had to join a cult to not be homeless. So go back to the beginning for people who never heard any of this and tell us about it, and then get us up to this. This is going to take more than a short segment. People want to know like what happened, how you got kicked out, but we need some background to catch people up who aren't aware of the cult.
Yeah, guys, I'm safe. I escaped all the lashes, everything that was going on in the torture dungeon of the San Francisco cult is wow. Okay. So just to fill everyone in, if you're not familiar with the story, I fell madly in love with a wonderful man at Porkfest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival in New Hampshire, and I had to go and be with him. So he lived in San Francisco, and I was like, well, then I'm going to San Francisco. And I can't just live in Oakland or some other place. I got to be in the city. You know, and that's really hard to do. It's expensive. It's like nearly impossible to find housing. If you don't believe me, just go to Craigslist right now and go check to see if you could find yourself an apartment for less than $3,000 a month. I'm not joking. It's that expensive.
Wow.
So it was nearly impossible for me to find a place. But finally, I landed one on this weird Craigslist ad that asked me to fill out a couple of surveys that took about an hour each. And I made it through that registration process. And then there was another in-person application. And then another in-person application where I was interviewed by a strange Filipino man named Mama Satoy. And he told me that he was the mother of these 20 people who live in a mansion right at the top of San Francisco in this beautiful section of the city. I was only like a couple of blocks from the man I wanted to be with. And so I said, okay, I'll put up with whatever crap this guy wants me to deal with in order to land this position. It was relatively inexpensive. I think it ended up being $750 or $800 a month for a tiny hole in the wall closet of a room, no windows, no access
with
to
limited
the bathroom.
Kitchen privileges or... You know,
extremely limited privileges.
Did he use the refrigerator?
No, he had a category what he did in the bathroom and save samples and then submit it with poems as part of the cult, right?
What were the best parts of the cult?
The best parts were like that they actually had a pretty good philosophy. People could download the
leave it better than you found it.
Yeah, that's my ringtone right now, because that was their philosophy. Leave everything better than you found it, which is great. You know, you change the world by changing yourself, by taking personal responsibility for the things that you see and do in the world. And I jive with that, to be totally honest. That was cool, and I'm down with it. But they were really controlling and possessive. Like, you had to leave your door open, and there were daily checks that you had to fill out saying if you were going to be home that night. And if you did your daily chores, you know, there were assigned chores that everyone had to do, and there were required meetings on Sunday nights. So there was a lot to deal with. But finally, I got out of it. The accident happened by you are required to fill out a monthly application if you want to stay. And I guess I'll have to tell
you. A monthly request to stay?
Yeah. You have to interview for your job every day.
Mama,
we'll
may
be
I
back
stay another month
after this trip to the market with more from Derek J and his cult deprogramming, self-deprogramming.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
sounds like an unlicensed cat.
I know. That's a growing problem, I've heard, and governments need to do something about it. You know, I have been thinking, I need to make it clearer when I'm kidding on this show and when I'm not, because some people don't know. I think it's obvious. I think if you know me and you hear me say, unlicensed cats are a growing problem that governments need to deal with, I think you know I'm kidding. But some people don't, so maybe I need, like, I don't know, a clicker that I click when I'm kidding.
You know, I ran into this problem, too.
Well, don't you actually know a guy in Wyoming that, thinks unlicensed cats are a problem and he goes out shooting them?
Yeah, he's actually my, quote-unquote, not really my, but he's the state rep. His name's Gerald Gay, and he's the state rep for my district. I used to be buddies with him. I just haven't talked to him
so
in a
basically
really long time.
He will try, convict, and execute non-compliant cats.
He's judge, jury, and executioner for feral cats. He actually has a permit from the city to shoot feral cats, and he has actually used that as an excuse to get out of votes on gun rights in Wyoming that he says it's because there's a conflict of interest. I think it looks like he, you know, doesn't want to vote on the really controversial stuff, even though he's a gun guy.
Or he's like, be right back, executing cats.
Yeah. So,
or somebody's got a file on him. You know, he wants to vote the way he knows he should, but somebody's got a file on him and tells him how to vote otherwise.
The cat industrial complex tells him to abstain. Yeah. All right. So, Derek, you're going to tell us more about the cult. So we got caught up to, like, what, you know, what we knew before. I want to know now what I don't know, which is how it ended.
How do you exit that kind of strategy? Do you sneak out? You grab your stuff? Do you, you know, or do you need approval to leave from the?
What happened? Or they throw you out?
Well, it was tough. Honestly, I was trying to stay at this point. So it's kind of like the opposite of a cult in the way that you have to really try to be a part of it. It takes a lot of work. It's probably easier to get kicked out than it is to stay. And I found that out pretty quickly because after the first I had to apply every week in order to continue to be a part of or apply every month. And so you had to apply
to reaffirm your loyalty.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a long essay that was required. Like, it's not just like, yes, I agree with the philosophy and I'll continue to do my best. I mean, there was like a point by
point. It was graded on punctuation, on structure, on... Right?
You're graded on everything. And there's even like a little private intranet kind of website thing that they keep among the cult members that no one else has access to, where they post all of these essays. So I was able to have some access to, you know, what other people had written. And I tried to model mine after theirs. I tried to do, like, really, I did my best job. And I don't know if the whole thing is just an excuse for him to be able to dispel people that he doesn't think really belong
or
believe in the philosophy.
That's some people's kink. You know, I mean, there's some people who, like, you know, instead of their kink being a sexual thing, it's just control freakism. And it sounds like that might be, like, this guy, what he gets his kicks from, you know, is just having control over people. He's kind of acting like a drug dealer, because drug dealers sometimes do that. You know, they'll have a bunch of, you know, prostitutes they have free sex with, whatever they want. And they have people that will do their bidding because drugs are such a needed commodity to those people. And in San Francisco, housing is such a needed and rare commodity. You know, he can act like the government and make you, like, apply for citizenship every week.
So what rules?
That's honestly what it is. And there might even have been sex involved, for all I know, because the first application, actually, the interview ended in his bedroom. And I wasn't putting anything forward. Yeah, honestly. So maybe he couldn't be outright about, like, what he wanted in exchange for rent, but I wasn't going to do anything like that. And I didn't get accepted, and me and this other girl didn't get accepted. And we had this one thing in common. We both complained about our food getting stolen from the refrigerator, and I'm thinking maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know, but there was things that were just disappearing from our, you know, it was a shared fridge among 20 different people. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I was complaining. I just let everyone know, like, hey, you know, I share this thing. I've put some food in. I've seen it disappear. Please, you know, leave the stuff in the bottom drawer or whatever. I don't know if that was it, but I asked Mama Satoy, hey, you know, did I do something wrong? Have I not kept up with my chores? He said, no, you did everything right. It's just I had someone else planned to be here. So he had me apply knowing that he had someone else to fill the position that he was going to choose instead of me.
Or and told this
me
is that just I the could, cover story.
This is the cover story, I believe, because he said right. I could keep my application and I would be third in line. Now, I had only been there 2 months. So you're saying, you know, being there for, what, October and November and then I'm out and some other guy's replacing me in December and then I'm third in line again for the same windowless room. I mean, really, how many people are knocking down the door to get, you know, a closet in San Francisco? I guess a lot. So I was kicked out.
A lot.
Yeah, I was kicked out.
I lived in the ghetto there. Last place I lived there, I lived in kind of a ghetto at Powell and Bush, which is called the Tender Knob. It's kind of the intersection of the Tenderloin and Knob Hill. It's a neighbor, like my block always had moving vans on it. It's a neighborhood where like people who are on their way up or their way down live for a few months in this block. And I was rent controlled and I had an apartment. It was one room with like a Murphy bed that folded out of the wall, a kitchen the size of a postage stamp, a bathroom that was smaller. And I was paying like $580 a month. That is an incredible deal in San Francisco. A one-room closet by yourself with a bathroom in the ghetto for $580 a month, you know, in
Did you have to reapply every month?
I left there in 2001. No, but like, you know, someone tried to break in while I was there one time and had a big knife in his hand and I chased him away and the police came and like, you know, didn't do anything. They were just like, yeah, all right, lock your doors, lock your window.
Well, fortunately, in Asbury Heights, we didn't have any like break-ins or bad like gangsters around. But I realized that I wasn't sort of welcome here among the cult members. I wasn't being invited to the like upstairs meetings. They had these private meetings in another room that had a different key that I didn't have access to.
The upper room.
So there really was, yeah.
The inner sanctum.
Yeah, so at first these meetings were mandatory, but then later, I guess when they found out, maybe they listened to the show, because honestly, Freedom Fiends was broadcasting in that tri-yard area, and they might have been able to tune in and find out like my real feelings on the cult, and they couldn't be honest about it. So, you know, I was kicked out. I didn't even get to see Mama Satoy when I left. He actually used one of his minions to, like, check my room. I had all this, I had to iron the sheets and everything before I left. It was pretty bizarre, the level of cleanliness that I had to leave this room in order to get my security deposit back and everything. But I did get out. I made it out fine. I spent some time in Austin, Texas, and now I'm here in Uruguay, and you know, I'm gonna be back in the Shire later this year. So that's the end of the cult story, thank goodness. You know, I'm never going back. I did get a text message from Mama Satoy on New Year's, maybe, but as part of like a massive text. He hasn't cleaned my number out yet, but you know, he wished me a happy new year and wishes the best. So I don't know if this guy is a weird cult leader or just a friendly, happy Filipino man. But it's a weird story, and I'm glad it was a part of my adventure.
So is housing affordable in Montevideo? How is it down there? I mean, you got like beach living, like how nice is it and affordable?
I've got it pretty good right now, and it's more expensive. I would think it's pretty expensive. Generally, I would say it's comparable to about Austin, Texas, where I was most recently. But it's kind of a lot. If you're looking for a cheap living South America, if you think it's like Acapulco, it's not. You know, there are a lot cheaper places to live. This is kind of like a European city on par. I think that the most of the expense comes from it being so communist. No, it's not like you get a whole lot. I am right here on the ocean, half a block, you know, so I get to walk down. It's actually called Gandhi Avenue, and there's a big statue of Gandhi, and there's some other some socialists that they worship that have some statues there. But it's nice. I pay $1,500 US dollars a month for one bedroom here in a ninth story apartment.
Man,
you know,
how much pretty sweet paying? Pad though, right? Like you're living well, right? I mean, it seemed like pretty nice.
People can see my apartment. I put it on my YouTube channel, so if you want to see the inside, you can see what it looks like and some of the view that I've got of the city. And I think it's, you know, I'm happy to be here. I know I'm only going to be here a couple of months, so I'm willing to put down a little bit of money. So, it's, nice. You know, I don't want to live in a slum while I'm.
Didn't you find a gas station called ANCAP and it was black and yellow colors?
They're everywhere. It's actually the national gas station, and they lost $900 million last year. So that's how you know they're the official gas station of the government. Yeah.
It's the post office of gas.
Right.
They are so bad. They don't even post prices on their walls. People were asking me, like, how much is gas there? And I honestly couldn't tell them, not because of the conversion rate and everything, but because they don't post prices. So I don't know. It's a really bizarre place. It is black and yellow. And if you go to my Facebook page, Derek J. Freeman, you can find some pictures of this place. I was delighted that they have black and yellow ANCAP symbols and everything. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know what you could say? You could say, yeah, this is our gas stations are called ANCAP. It's run by the weed cartel. Right?
Yeah,
right? It's the same company, right? Like it runs the weed racket.
Hey, I have a short clip I want to play. It's from The Simpsons. It's 6 seconds long. It's Homer looking at a globe. Here you go.
Look at this country. You are gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much everyone is gay here. No, that's not true. Yeah. But I mean, they're always checking out my legs and stuff. They're like pretty confused. A lot of the guys, like, they accept gays here. It was one of the first South American countries to legalize gay marriage. But I went to a gay club and found out it's like the only one. And it wasn't even really packed or anything. I mean, yeah, they were bumping and having a good time. But I found like gay people are like 1% of this population, which is pretty weird. I would think they're gay more probably. For a country with this name.
It's probably openly gay. It's Catholic heavily. Isn't it the country?
Not really. I've found them to be a lot less religious seeming than probably most of the places, even in the U.S. I mean, there are churches and stuff, but it seems like they're just historic. Like the churches are really only used for AA meetings.
Oh, cool. All right. When we get back from this trip to the market, we're going to talk about man jailed for unregistered cat. Unless Derek has any
Jersey.
Closing comments. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
I got the kitties. And Dan Smith had a kitty, but he is facing fines for having or not having a feral kitty in Canada. So this guy may be going to jail for failing to register his feral cat that he started. Him and his estranged wife started feeding the cat like 12 years ago or so.
Right. They're not going to shoot your cats or take away your cats. They just want sensible cat regulation. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. They just need to know everybody with a cat, right?
Yeah.
It's just because what if the Canadian government didn't know about every cat, and then the queen might ask, and what do they say? They don't know.
What do they say? They don't know. They have no idea. And this is why we need these cat fines, and they're reasonable. I mean, you know, $326 in fines.
Yeah, sensible. I think sensible. Sensible is the word we're looking for there.
Yeah.
We can't have catarchy.
I know. So. He didn't get the documents for his friend named Winnie or his feral cat named Winnie.
Wasn't it his wife's feral? Like, isn't this like she fed the cat? The cat kept coming around. She moved out, and the cat kept coming around, right? And then he got fined.
Yeah,
it's not even his cat.
Yeah, I like how they describe him. Like, he says over and over again, it's a feral cat. And then there's this part, Smith says he bears no resentment against the animal. But, like, it's clear he doesn't, like, just love it a whole lot. Nor does he hate it. It's just, like, this feral cat keeps coming around.
It's just there.
As they do.
Well, that's what they do, man.
The weird thing is, he says, I'm turning myself in. Yeah, like, he has this other house. This is one of his, like, other houses. So imagine some cat is showing up at a house you don't even live in, and the government there is trying to put you in jail for not registering your cat. It's not, not only is it not his cat, like, that's barely his house.
They did put him in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us more, MK.
He'd rather spend the 3 days in jail than pay the $326 in fines. And he says, it's the principle. Why should I pay a fine if I don't own a cat? But that's a bummer. About 3 days in jail, $326.
Don't have the feline if you can't do the time.
Do you think they sent those guys the Canadian?
Yeah.
Ooh, say that again. Don't do
the feline if you can't do the time.
Oh man, do you think they sent Canadian Mounties to apprehend this rogue rustler or herder?
Yes.
Like, do they wear those, like, red jackets and ride horses out, you know?
Yes.
I mean, I'd be so embarrassed to enforce this. I'd definitely be apologizing more than usual.
I thought one of the funniest things about the story when I read about it was the guy who turned himself in, this Dan Smith, I guess his name is, turned himself into police in Canada. And the woman at the police station who he confessed to didn't speak English. She only spoke French and didn't even understand what he was trying to do. She had to, like, get a police officer to show up.
I think it's illegal in France to confess to a crime and not do it bilingually, isn't it? I think that's more of a sentence.
You mean in French Canada?
Yeah, you have to do it in English and then in French. It's the law, right?
Yeah, or it's not a real confession. Yeah.
Right, right.
Check out how threatening he sounds. Smith, using a cane because of arthritis and carrying a plastic bag of prescription drugs for various maladies, walked to the cruiser outside, was frisked, and asked to hand over the plastic bag before he got into the back seat. Man, what a dangerous criminal. I'm glad they put that guy away.
He had to put his asthma meds in a bag before they'd let him go arrest himself?
He had to hand over the bag of prescription drugs.
So he could have his meds with him in jail? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Or did he hand over a bag of cash?
Now, let me ask you this. In Canada, they have medical marijuana, but it's like... it's really wimpy medical marijuana. It's like you have to be dying of cancer or AIDS or, you know, and they have a list, too, of, like, it has to be one of the 8 approved fatal illnesses. You know, you can't just have horrible migraines or something and get it. You have to be dying of something. So, but it's the same all the way across Canada. Now, if you're on Canadian government medical pot and you go to jail, do you think you get pot in jail? Call in at 1-800-666-FIEN if you're in jail in Canada. We do accept collect calls from jail.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I'm MK Lords. I'm here with Derek J. and Jim Babb and Michael W. Dean.
That's a full squirm. We have a full squirm of worms. Four fiends.
Squirming.
We have a full squirm. Or a
we all know what squirm means, right?
It's a plural of worm. It's a group of worms.
Yeah.
Ew.
So folks want to hear more about you're a gay. You are gay. Sounds like, gay? I mean, we've seen some pictures. We know how much fun you're having down there, but people are just, you know, intrigued by the exotic lifestyle that you lead.
I want to know more.
I want to tell you some things about it here in you're a gay. First of all, everyone walks around with a thermos in their arm. Like, everyone's walking around with this little odd-shaped coconut cup with a metal straw, and they've got a big thermos under one of their arms. And, like, it doesn't matter if you're a beefy guy or a little old lady, everyone's got this thing, and it's basically the equivalent of a Starbucks cup. Everyone's addicted to a thing called mate, which is this disgusting bitter tea that you pour. You keep like a pouch of it. These people have like Indiana Jones pouches or backpacks with them all times. I'm not joking. Like, they're so addicted. Wow. They keep a full day's supply with them all the time, and they're constantly adding a little bit of water to it. And even the policemen, like, you know, they've got their Glock and they've got their mate tea. And it seems like it's more important to them.
You think it is addictive? Is it caffeine, or what are they addicted to?
Is it like yerba mate?
It's caffeine. Yeah, it is like yerba mate. And, you know, it's just a disgusting tea. I haven't really taken to it myself, but that's one of the things that you will definitely notice here. Another thing is it's one of the least religious South American countries. I did mention that it was the first to legalize gay marriage, so that's pretty friendly here. Like, I walk around basically naked, pushing the limits of how little clothing can I wear and get away with. Like, when I go to the grocery store, I notice myself getting some looks from the employees, but I don't know if they're just interested or they're ready to say, like, hey, sir, please put on some clothes. So that's been interesting. I went to a nightclub and it opened a gay nightclub. It's only open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and they open at 11 p.m. and close at 7 a.m. And I thought I was going to do the hip thing and show up a little fashionably late with my boyfriend, ready to dance at like 12:30 or 1 a.m. No, and there was still like no one on the dance floor. We were the only ones, and then it started pumping up. I would say around 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night. And so I guess that's pretty normal in South America, but it was pretty unusual for me. In the U.S., you know, things tend to be moving at by midnight or 1 a.m. usually. So that was interesting and different. There's lots of international people. I mentioned the free trade zone. So, one weird thing that happened, like, the food is really bizarre. They do barbecue better than anyone else in the world, probably here, but I'm a vegetarian almost exclusively. So I don't do the barbecue thing that much. And I tried to get some good vegetables while I was looking for a place to live. So I did a Google search of Indian food, knowing that, you know, they've got some flavorful veggies. And if I can find some Indian food in town, I could grab a lot of it, keep it in the fridge, and that'll be an easy meal. Well, I found a Facebook page where these guys, I thought it was a restaurant, but it's not really. They were like, oh yeah, we'll make you anything you want out of these four options. And well, it takes us a day to make it. So you have to order way in advance. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is some super fancy restaurant.
It's the communist free market. That's what that is.
Well, it turns out that it was actually some Indian people who were there on business who just have an apartment. And it actually was like a drug deal where we went with like $60, almost American. It was Uruguayan food. And they came down from their apartment to meet us. They met us down on the street and traded these
chicken
plastic
masala
bags.
Here you go. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, so have you had Indian food before? We're like, yeah, we're from San Francisco. Like, you know, of course we've had Indian food. We're from the States, but it's really a bizarre and unusual delicacy here. So people don't really have that. You know, I because of the imports.
Sounds like the market is providing despite the communism. So
It really is. So, you know, there's some interesting things about Uruguay. I would say, you know, someone asked me on Facebook, because I posted this, that I'm doing the show tonight. They asked me about the guys here. And I would say that the women are extremely hot, but the guys are fat and flabby. And I have no idea why this disparity exists. I got a gym membership here.
Sounds like libertarian paradise, guys. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, shots fired.
Like, seriously, if you want it easy, I mean, I guess you could move here. If you're a straight dude, my boyfriend and I are the only guys who take classes at our gym. And we've been there, you know, every day of the week and hoping that there's going to be some other guy there. And there hasn't been one yet. So just letting everyone know, oh, no, he's looking at me because I guess I'm supposed to say nice things about Uruguay. But there are a lot of good things here, too.
Does he call it Uruguay now?
Yeah, we all call it Uruguay. But he wants me to say it's really important. Everyone needs to know that there's a market opportunity here for pastries. Now, I'm really into fatty foods. I love my junk food. We've been trying to find some good junk food at the supermarket.
Be careful,
man.
Desperate. Be careful. That stuff will turn you from a twink into a bear. And you still look twink body shape, and you still look great, but I noticed you have become a man since I last saw you. When I saw you at Porkfest, you were a boy, and now you look like a man. So
you
gotta start watching your ghoulish figure there, or you'll get a ghoulish goulash figure.
Hey, no, I've got an idea for you. Aren't you close to Buenos Aires? It's not that far, right?
Yeah, it's just a hop and a skip.
I'm speaking from experience, man.
Isn't that where all like the ex Nazis and stuff went? The ones that weren't hired by the United States government?
It is. Yeah, there are still Nazis.
Well, shouldn't there be like German bakeries and stuff then? Like,
yeah, you know,
are there really Nazis there? They'd be like, I mean, Hitler, if he were alive, would be like 127 years old.
Yeah, Hitler is my landlord.
Yeah, he's. Okay. Go on.
I met some Germans. I met some Germans traveling, and they were from ethnic. I don't know if ethnic is the right word, but culturally Germans of German background from Argentina. Like, yeah, we escaped. You know, her mother had like left, went down there after, you know, escaped World War II. So yeah, I mean, most of them look at it as escaping the Nazis rather than like being Nazis and hiding out, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Well, I think it goes both ways. I think there's both of those types of situations. But for real, Uruguay was settled by Germans, Italians, and the Spanish. And they have each of those foods represented. I got this pizza. You guys, I'll post it to Facebook. It was so sad and disappointing to, you know, because I come from like the pizza belt, New York City, Philadelphia. We do good pizza. But pizza. Here, it didn't even have New mozzarella. It had no cheese. It was seriously bruschetta. It was just bread and tomato sauce. It was so
sad.
Well,
there's your market opportunity, right? Because a pizza costs like a dollar to make, and you can sell it for $15.
It's a huge market opportunity in the realm of food here, and especially
but
pastries.
You need some way to smuggle the mozzarella down, or the, you know, the tomato sauce, or
that's right.
I watched this show last night about how hash is smuggled from the Middle East into Europe through Spain, and literally they do it the same way they do heroin and cocaine, which is they put it in little 10-gram balloons and people eat about a kilogram of it, and it comes out the other end when they get to
Spain.
That's
not going to work for mozzarella. Okay,
yeah,
there's going to be no mozzarella mules crossing the border.
Hey, man, depends how much of a black market there is and how much it's worth. And, you know, if it ruptures, you're not going to die like when you do that with cocaine or heroin. You're just going to, it's just going to take a week for you to get it out because, you know, cheese. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I eat a pizza. It's like shooting heroin for me in that it puts me to sleep and I can't poo for 24 hours. I can't eat pizza anymore, man.
Well, I think there are a lot of people talking about being expats, moving to a place like this. that is seriously, you would clean up if you started a bakery here because they love their sweets, but they've got it all wrong. They don't use enough butter or sugar. I don't know if it's like a government thing. They've got a big government regulation on salt, too. Like, all restaurants have motto. It translates to less salt, more life. And I'm like, no, just give me the salt. Like, give me a whole shaker. Salt even at Burger King and McDonald's, I have to ask for extra salt for their fries because they can't even do that right.
Oh, man.
I know.
Wow.
It's pretty sad. I know.
Another opportunity.
So just
about indigenous. What about indigenous cuisine?
Just thank your lucky stars wherever you are that you've got McDonald's fries that have plenty of delicious fat and salt on them. And you know, send me some cookies if you can. Some real cookies.
Are there any traditional foods there that you've checked out or like?
Yeah.
You said it's all barbecue. Honestly, it's tough for as a vegetarian, but there must be some interesting local standard fare.
No, not for vegetarians. Honestly, they look at you real crook-eyed if you ask for a vegetarian plate or a salad. They're like, "What do you want? Lettuce?" Like,
that's
they're
how
so
most
confused.
Of America is, though. If you're not on the East Coast or West Coast or Austin,
But I'm from like New York and San Francisco. We know how to make a salad. A lot of frou-frou people out there. So, but
how
here,
about seafood?
You've got
are they getting access? Are they getting good access to the sea there?
To the sea? Yeah, there's a half a block from our house, there's a place where they catch fish right there and then serve it right in the restaurant. So, you know, they've got like a little pier out on the rocks. They catch the fish and local stuff. I haven't tried that myself, honestly. And I did break down and go and get some meat at this little like French restaurant. It was I know I've said a lot of bad things about the food here, but really, if you're a meat eater, this was one of the best meals I've ever had in my life. It will be memorable for the rest of time.
That's why they're not vegetarians. This is the meat is so good.
Wine and all kinds of meat, lamb, beef, whatever you want.
Nice.
I'm living carnivorously through you.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Bar Mitzvah-ing, Derek J. on the radio. Son, today you are a man. But don't become a bear. Stay away from those pastries. They go right to your hips. You could just tape them on your hips and walk around with them under your pants. Smuggle them. Here, I'll tell you what. Fill your pants and your shirt with pastries and smuggle them into the country and take selfies of you wearing a fat suit of pastries, because that's what you'll look like after 25 or 26 if you don't watch what you eat.
Like, no!
I just posted a bunch of pictures of my microphone. I'm not in them. I don't look good anymore. Yeah. So
I used to be really skinny when I was Derek's age. Yep. And then just your metabolism changes when you get older. So you should change your diet before that happens.
Yeah. I was skinnier and more cut than Derek J, if you can believe that, when I was his age. When I was his age, I weighed 125 pounds and I was doing sit-ups on different ladies every night. I was doing sit-ups on ladies every night and I was shooting heroin and doing like 100 sit-ups a day. And I have pictures somewhere. I'll post them. But, yeah, Derek, we want you to keep your girlish figure, so stay away from them pastries. All right, so we're going to talk about something kind of dark and horrible which is this shooting, this murder by the government in Oregon. I don't want to talk about this, but I feel like we have to talk about this. So there was this occupation in Oregon at this, what did you call it, James? A picnic area? Yeah, a picnic area. And these guys, you know, we made fun of these guys. We were like, yeah, they think the Constitution's going to protect them from their captors. And they're waving the flag of their captors.
While still supporting their right, you know, a right. lot of their concepts. I mean, like, hey, yeah, we're maybe ribbing them.
We kid because we love.
Yeah.
It's not like we're like Montel Williams suggesting they be disemboweled by the president. I mean,
disemboweled. Have the disemboweled, balls taken away. Right? Yeah, he spelled it wrong because he was high.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he just wanted to have their bowls taken away. You know.
Yeah. So these guys, these ranchers, these cowboys, and I don't say that in any bad way at all. I mean, I live in Wyoming, which is literally the cowboy state. That's what they call it. And there's a cowboy on the license plate, and there are real cowboys here. They're not people who dress up like cowboys because they think it's cool and hip and ironic. These are like guys who rope cows for a living. There's a lot of them in Wyoming. And you know, there's a lot of them in the Mountain West, and some from Nevada and some from a few other places went to Oregon to occupy this this picnic area, and they were there for like 3 weeks. There's still like four of them there, and the government's trying to get them out without too much bad press or Waco-ness. But so there's this video that the government released of the shooting that shot from the air. I'm sure everyone listening has heard it. If not, just go on YouTube and Google FBI video of Oregon shooting. It'll come up, and it's got like 3 million views, I think, in 3 days or something. And it was kind of shocking to me that they released this, because they said that they'd shot the guy and killed him, and I was like, "We'll never see it. We'll never see footage of this."
Well, they needed some PR on their side fast. Everyone's calling them murders. All the testimony came out about him getting shot with his hands up. They had to do some kind of counterplay. They're like, "Find the clip that makes us look best and release it."
Yeah, I also wonder like if there's any manipulation in this, because I don't know that there is, but it's shot from such a high aerial distance, and it's so grainy. It kind of raises more questions than it answers.
It looks
answers.
Like one of those Bigfoot videos, really.
Yeah,
it's like, shot from, like, out of focus, blurry, pixelated.
And you know what's weird? They say it's shot from an airplane. I'm absolutely sure it's shot from a helicopter or a drone, because airplanes can't stand still. And this thing, like, almost, you know, it's almost standing still. It's like barely moving at some points. It's either a helicopter or a drone. I think it's a helicopter.
It could be a plane if it was a really powerful zoom lens.
Well, right? If it's like miles,
you wouldn't
up in
notice
the
motion as much if it was pretty high up.
There you go. That could be it. But they had a plane because they wanted to, that high up, because they wanted to surprise them and didn't want them to hear it. But there's no audio on it. I am absolutely sure that they probably had some dash cam footage and body cam footage and rifle cam footage, but I don't think we'll ever see that.
It's they put it, the dash cam footage. They're storing it with the Bin Laden assassination videos.
Yeah, where they thawed out his corpse 4 years earlier of killing him, and
Yeah, well, even the video that's released, as grainy as it is, still is pretty awful. I mean, you can see where he gets out, his hands are up, and then he gets shot down.
And there's a lot of conjecture, and it generally, it's so open to interpretation. It seems like if you like these people, you think that it's showing one thing, and if you didn't like these people, you think it's showing another. If you like these people, you know, you think he's
Exactly. If you like it, it's clearly murder.
He's being murdered. And if you didn't like it, he's shooting all the cops and they're shooting in self-defense. So we'll
what are they supposed to do? You know, wait to fire,
this
trip
to the market.
Wait until they get shot.
Right. It was premeditated. Even if it was self-defense on the cops' part, they murdered him.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
cackle of worms here. As Jane says, a squirm of worms. That's when there's four or more of us gathered in the name of freedom. It's a full squirm of worms. My wife calls it a squorum of worms. It's like a squirm combined with a quorum. And so we're talking about the murder of Lavoie Finicum in Oregon by the police. Now, Derek J just IM'd us and said, it kind of seemed like suicide cop to me. You know what, Derek J? That's what they want you to think. Can you hear me?
Yeah. And I don't know. I from hear what I heard, is. Even from the most generous witness, is the woman who was in the car at the time of his death.
Yeah.
She said that he was saying, what are you going to do, shoot me? And, I mean, I did watch the video. I don't know what time the cops shot, but he did put his arms down. If he was going to fire back, right, then he would have done it from the car. So I don't think he was trying to shoot at the cops, but it seemed like he had just given up to the point where he was like, look, I don't want to go to jail. I'm an old man. I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison if
they take
me.
He's not that old. That guy's 54. That guy's 3 years older than me, but he looks 40 years older than me. But
well, he's been living this.
He's a rancher.
That's 93 in cowboy years.
In rancher years, yeah. Now, here's the thing, Derek. The video footage, like I was saying when we went to the break, is incredibly open to interpretation. So there's several things that could be happening in that video when you look at the 30 seconds before and after he gets shot. So he's running out of the car. He's running in snow that's up to his belly button. I mean, it's like 3 or 4 feet of snow there. You can tell by where the car went in and how deep it is. So he has his hands up, and he's walking kind of toward where that cop is hiding in the bushes that murdered him. So that's not really like how you would generally surrender. You're supposed to stay there with your hands up and wait for orders or they shoot you. But it was a high adrenaline situation. They just had a car chase. They crashed. Some cop had run in front of their car. They'd almost hit him. You know, they suddenly knew they'd been ambushed.
How do we know they weren't firing at the car when he got out?
Yeah.
Like, that's so Derek, maybe why
me,
he got
let
out.
Me, I really want to debunk what Derek said, because you're basically saying it looks like this happened, and I want to offer
maybe it did. You know, we don't know. I mean,
here's some possibilities. So he definitely puts his hands up and he's walking and kind of stumbling in the snow. And then he puts his hands down and looks like he's reaching in his jacket, and then they shoot him. So, but
how do you know that's when they shoot him? Maybe he was just shot in the side.
Right. And he's clutching his side, or because there's no audio on this and they won't release anything filmed from the ground, or, you know, he could be, if you're walking in the snow and you're an old guy and you're stumbling to not fall in snow in an adrenaline situation, you know, you kind of would intuitively put your hands down to balance you without thinking. Like, if you're going to fall, you don't want your hands up. You want them down. I think that's what really happened there.
Well, can we all agree that they most likely have multiple other video sources of this encounter,
yes.
Right?
That they're not releasing.
Whether it's dash cams, body cams, other surveillance cams, drones, right?
They're not releasing because they don't support the narrative they're trying to make. I think they released this video because of all the video they probably had. This was the easiest to say, he looked like he was going for his gun. We shot him in self-defense.
Right, and if that was the case, I mean, that would fit their, you know, their pattern of behavior, right? So, again, we don't know, and I don't like to be one of these people that speculates either way. And I have my own bias, because I know that if Lavoie had just been left alone, that he'd be alive. You know, like, they didn't have to mess with him. Didn't have to talk to him. They didn't have to ambush him. They didn't have to chase him down. They didn't have to shoot him. They didn't have to harass him. They didn't have to do any of those things that led to his death, whatever those particular details were.
Here's why it was murder, and I'm agreeing with James and extrapolating on it. Okay, so if someone breaks into your house in the middle of the night and you shoot him, and he's brandishing a knife and you shoot him dead, or he's brandishing a gun and you shoot him dead, you are morally okay in everybody's book who knows anything about self-defense, and you're probably legally okay in a lot of states. Now, if you leave your door wide open and, you know, put shiny, valuable things in plain view in the window and put a note on the door that said, gone to grandma's house, back tomorrow. And you lie in wait and wait for someone to come in and try to rob you and then shoot them dead. You just committed murder. And especially if you invite someone into your house or force them into your house and then shoot them and then say that they tried to murder you. Or even if you invite them into their house, pull a gun on them, they pull a gun on you, and then you get the drop and shoot them and kill them. You've committed murder morally and legally. That's what the police did. They set up a situation where they were pretty sure this guy was going to try to defend himself, and everyone's pointing guns at him. And, you know, he also at one point in the video points to the right. He looks like he's pointing at something. He looks like he's pointing at the white truck that he came out of, but I think he's trying to point behind him where someone shot him from. When it looks like he grabbed his chest, like he's reaching for a gun, they said, and then he points, I think he's trying to point behind him, but he's been shot and can't really get his arm around. That's what it looks like to me. I think he was shot more than once. That's what I'm saying.
Why was he separated from all his friends? Like, why? How did they get him alone?
They were in two cars.
This seems like a lion and gazelle situation.
No, they were in two cars, and one of the cars was stopped like a quarter mile back. It was a green Jeep, and it's barely in the video, but they show it being stopped, and then the camera pans up hundreds of yards to where all the other cops are, where they stopped the white truck. And the other guy, the leader, was in the green truck. What's
I like the way they call it a traffic stop.
Yeah, a murder.
Right.
A murder of stuff. Cops. Okay, that's the name. That's what they're called. A murder of cops.
I think that's disrespectful to crows.
Yeah.
You know, really disappointing because, like, yeah, okay, I don't like to see anyone get killed or any kind of murder, but if you're going to try and outrun the cops, like, just do it. You know, like, how did
like you did on your bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you got.
Didn't you get away on your bicycle? Did you actually escape, right? And then they like ambushed you later at your car or something.
Yeah, well, no, I've run from the cops in several situations, and you know, you just choose to do it or not, and then you commit to it is what I say. So this guy,
yeah,
I guess
right. If you run and they catch you, you're getting stick time at best.
Yeah, I will say it is unfortunate how, you know, his family was caught up in this. And this is something I think that, I mean, they expected to some degree. And I still totally agree with you guys. It was murder by cop. But this is something they were prepared to do. They were prepared to resist. And, you know, it's unfortunate that happened.
But he wasn't.
But even from a tactical situation, they blew it. Right?
If he didn't fire off a shot or hurt anyone, you know?
Yeah, that's not good resistance. I think they were just ambushed and he didn't, you know, however it worked out, he's dead. It's their fault. And I think there should be a little bit of lesson in here to other, you know, people that want to be revolutionaries. You know what? You're going to drive to that meeting. Guess what? They know.
I don't think the meeting even existed.
Try a Skype video call next time. Instead of going to an out, instead of leaving your compound for a meeting,
just do a setup. I really do.
Do a Google Hangout next time. Okay? Do a Google Hangout.
Phone Hangout. Have it sound good.
Yeah. I mean,
well, the cops aren't allowed to use Fiend Phone.
What? It just seems it's like we all know that I don't think there's anything going on in there that's not either like scripted by the FBI or reported directly to them. So anytime they were going to leave the picnic area.
Yeah. FBI says that it was a state trooper that shot him. The guy over on the left of the video frame. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they thought that would satisfy the constitutionalists because they all think that the sheriff is the highest authority in the county. So if it was a state guy instead of a federal guy murdering him, maybe the
that sheriff maybe want to puke.
Have better aim?
He was horrible. What's that? Okay.
Well, maybe I'm gonna.
Do you think feds have better aim than regular cops?
Well, we do know, and this is a fact, that the Quantico FBI library in Quantico, Virginia, the FBI, where they newly mint all the FBI agents, has a copy of my video, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle. If you go on, what's the site? It's like a Google site where you, the WorldCat Library search, and search for that. It lists the, like, 20 or so libraries in the country and in the world that have that DVD. And
let's make that a conspiracy that you're actually a Fed, and here's the proof.
Some girl was saying that on some friend of Steve Miller Miller's was saying that. Some lady named Dax or Jax, J-A-X something, was she says that me and Steve Miller Miller and Jim Jesus are all Feds. And she's, I think she's friends with
you guys.
I know she's friends with them. Do you know her?
Yeah.
I think she's, well, you know what? Too. If it's true, you know what? You guys are my kind of Feds, and I'm cool with that. So,
well, you're nobody in Liberty.
If they were all like you guys, I wouldn't care about it, you know.
You're nobody
in
Liberty.
Can you hook me up with some donuts?
You're nobody in Liberty until someone thinks you're a Fed, and you're nobody in Liberty until someone wants you dead. I satisfy both of those. Can't well.
And you're also
dead.
And you're also on the payroll from the Koch brothers. Right?
Yeah. So this lady's name is Jax Lynn.
I wish I was.
And yeah, you know her? Are you friends with her, MK?
Oh yeah, yeah, she's great.
Do you know her in person?
I haven't met her in person.
Does she really exist?
On the internet.
I think she's some dude from the FBI.
Exists.
I'm kidding.
I'm pretty sure she exists.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like 94% sure.
Do you think that would there have been more murders if they had held a peaceful position at the picnic table? If they had said, look, we're not going to bring guns. We're only going to hold this place with our bodies, and you can shoot us if you want.
I think it's possible.
There would have been more violence?
I don't know,
I think
man.
There would have been less
no.
violence.
I think,
but
I think,
I'm not sure.
I mean, they've shot a lot of unarmed protesters lately. All
yeah, but not with this much publicity. I would think if they went and they were like, look, we're going to hold this area and we're going to do it peacefully, that there would have been less violence. It was because these guys said, like, oh, I'm ready to go down shooting, that they were like, all right, we got to take out this threat. I mean, I'm not taking the side of the police here, obviously, but you got to look at them as lions or as predators.
You're not a Fed?
That's how they're going to act.
You're not a Fed. How are you just
no,
around the world,
with
man, without a job?
Completely.
I think you're a Fed, Derek.
Right, and just remember how scared they are just to pull an old lady over for speeding, okay? Mm-hmm. Terrified, quaking in their boots, okay, that somebody's going to fight back during a regular highway shakedown. Imagine how scared they must be approaching somebody who said, well, I guess I'll go down fighting.
All time, yeah. And you know, these I guarantee they're gonna like these guys are all gonna do 50 years in prison for something. They don't want more of this to happen, and that's what they're gonna do.
Let's go.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
That's too many for a socialist paradise. I think they need to just pick one album, and that's the only one that'll be.
Well,
for
the
sale.
Kids are hungry, right? We don't need that many choices.
And there doesn't need to be as many
cents.
Chili peppers, or just be
that's
the
true.
Red Hot Chili Pepper
habanero, the Red Hot habanero.
You know, so, I would like. I think Bernie Sanders and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Whoopi Goldberg should all just go off to North Korea and leave us the heck alone. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I've actually been on their stage leaning against Flea's amp while they played the Cow Palace for 10,000 people in San Francisco. That was one of
nice.
Those. I generally don't like big concerts. I've, you know, most of the concerts I've been to have been like rooms that didn't have a bar or a bouncer or even a sound man. And, you know, there were like less than 200 people there. But when I was friends with the manager of the Chili Peppers, and he let me and a few friends get in free, and like, we were on the stage at a stadium show. I have never, like, experienced a concert like that. That was kind of mind blowing. Like, I was leaning against Flea's bass amp for the whole show, like on the stage. Blew my hair back, literally and figuratively. So,
what's that communism? What's that Chili Pepper song? Isn't the line is about give it away,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Perfect for Bernie Sanders, right?
Give it away. It wasn't that tour, though. It was the one with
Give Somebody Else's Stuff Away.
Where everybody, yeah, all like, the fans hated it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, Red Hot Chili Peppers announced concert for Bernie Sanders. Okay, these guys are feeling the burn.
I wish they'd stop.
I wish they would.
Stop doing that.
They pimped for Obama, too. You know, they are one of the hippest bands in the world, but they're really not, because There is nothing cool about any musician backing any politician.
No, it's so lame.
It really isn't. Yeah.
Especially Bernie Sanders. Okay.
It's better if they just run for president. Like, if they just go for it. I'd much rather have Flea run for president.
I got an email from Robin Eubanks. Do you know him, the famous trombone player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was his brother. Yeah.
Yeah, and like awesome jazz trombonist, plays with Dave Holland and his own band and stuff. And I remember getting his, like, this is why we have to support Obama email spam. And I was like, just shut up and play your trombone.
You don't like my band. You don't like my band, but I will never send you that email. So really, technically, I'm cooler as a musician than the Eubanks brothers. Even to James
at least
Babb,
one of them.
Republican,
but you know, I never got a follow up email like apologizing for all the drone strikes and for keeping Guantanamo open and for, you know, and for destroying.
Okay, so I'm looking at this article in the Washington Post. Venezuela is on the brink of a complete economic collapse. We will put it in the show notes. We don't have enough time to really read the whole thing. But
you're talking about the Venezuela project.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and it's like condoms are $750. You can't get beer. You know, the country is in its death throes, and this is all from like basically two decades of socialism. And the thing is, Venezuela was once a very wealthy country with a high standard of living because of oil, you know, in this like 50s, 60s, until it became totally socialist, and it had just gone downhill to nothing, to where like not only does nobody have any money, there's nothing to buy. Like, you can't get food, you can't get beer, you can't get condoms. And if you can't get a condom, there's $755. So I want to encourage everyone who knows a Bernie Sanders supporter, and everyone does, because he's very popular. He's like the weird liberal Ron Paul.
To mail your extra condoms to Venezuela now.
Yeah, I want you to walk up to the Bernie Sanders supporter and tell them what's going on in Venezuela, which is considered a socialist paradise, and ask them why America under Bernie wouldn't end up the same way. They're going to do one of two things. They're going to yell at you and call you names, or they're going to they're going to basically give the same argument that the Tea Party gives. They're going to say, well, we just got to get the right people in there, and Bernie's the right people.
Well, and if you push, they'll just retreat to their safe space.
Yeah, at college.
The only way I could see Bernie being a better choice than the other ones is if he does get elected. I think he's like too far left. He's too socialist that he won't be able to get as much of his crap through.
That's the theory.
Of course I'm not going to vote for him if it comes
like,
down
I'd prefer
to
him to Trump for that reason, because I think if Trump's elected, the Republicans will do his bidding. And I think if Bernie or Hillary get elected, the Republicans might go back to blocking him at every turn like they did at the beginning of Obama, before they all started licking Obama. Although I don't even want to entertain that stuff, because
who cares?
Co-signing the process. Right. We're just going to watch. Right. We're going to laugh while it all collapses. That's the Freedom Fiends answer.
I'm on board with the Vote for Nobody campaign.
It's great to have you back, Derek Jay. More of it.
Yeah.
Worms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laugh at all your friends who support political candidates.
Yeah. And then punch them with your words.
I mean, let's face it, though. This campaign season is the funniest that I can recall. I mean, since...
Punch with your worms, not your fists.